please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 33. Genesis 33. Genesis 33. Then Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. And he put the maids and their children in front, and Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. But he himself passed on ahead of them, and bowed down to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. Then Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and the children, and said, "Who are these with you?" So he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the maids came near with their children, and they bowed down. And Leah likewise came near with her children, and they bowed down. And afterward Joseph came near with Rachel, and they bowed down. And he said, "What do you mean by all this company which I have met?" And he said, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have plenty, my brother. Let what you have be your own." And Jacob said, "No, please, if now I have found favor in your sight, then take my present from my hand, for I see your face as one sees the face of God, and you have received me favorably. Please take my gift which has been brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have plenty." Thus he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us take our journey and go, and I will go before you." But he said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the flocks and herds which are nursing are a care to me. And if they are driven hard one day, all the flocks will die. Please let my Lord pass on before his servant, and I will proceed at my leisure according to the pace of the cattle that are before me, and according to the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord at Seir." Then Esau said, "Please let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built for himself a house, and made booths for his livestock. Therefore the place is named Succoth. Now Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And when he came from Paddan Aram and encamped before the city, and he bought the piece of land where he had pitched his tent from the hand of the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Then he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. Thus reads the word of God. Genesis 33:10. And Jacob said, "No, please, if now I have found favor in your sight, then take my present from my hand, for I see your face as one sees the face of God, and you have received me favorably." We are ongoing with our reading of the Bible together as a fellowship. We continued this morning with the 33rd chapter of Genesis, in which we're given the account of the meeting of Jacob and Esau after a 20-year separation. Jacob had been sent ostensibly to get a wife from the homeland of Rebekah rather than from the daughters of the Canaanites. However, the true reason was that Rebekah and Jacob feared the retribution of Esau for the manner in which Jacob had received both the birthright and the blessing of Isaac. Jacob had lived those 20 years in the fear of what Esau would do when once again he would be in the presence of his brother. Jacob had no idea what type of reception awaited him in the land of his father. Therefore, as he returned home, he set forth a manner of trying to appease his brother and to allow his family to survive in the case that Esau, with his 400 men, was plotting his revenge. First, Jacob sent forth gifts of the flocks and of the herds for Esau. Then he divided his family into three companies, the maids with their children in the first, then Leah with her children in the second, and finally, Rachel with Joseph. That was so in the case that if Esau attacked one group, the rest might flee and be saved. As we read, Jacob's meeting with Esau went far better than Jacob expected. Rather than facing the brute force of Esau's hatred, Jacob encountered the effective dealing of God in Esau, expressed in his gladness and rejoicing at the return of his twin brother. God had used those 20 years to effect a change in Esau's attitude toward his brother, to the point that Jacob made the statement of this morning's verse, "For I see your face as one sees the face of God, and you have received me favorably." As Phil pointed out in his message back in May, there had taken place a true forgiveness in Esau's heart that was even expressed in his face and in his demeanor of dealing with Jacob. All the fear that we have recently discussed was for naught as Esau embraced his long-awaited brother. All the animosity and the anger and the evil intent was set aside in the coming together again of these two sons of Isaac and Rebekah. We do not know what happened in Esau's life in the course of the passing of those 20 years. Scriptural details are not given as to what the Lord had to do in order to deal with that anger which had so alarmed Rebekah that she sent Jacob away to safety with her brother's family. All that we do know is that after God had finished his good work in Esau's heart and mind, he was very glad to see Jacob, even to the point of showing favor in his looking upon the countenance of his sibling. This is something that we need to explore in greater detail, this matter of God's bestowment of favor in even the very expression of the face of the Blessed One. Let us begin with Lot as he was dealing with the angels whom he had rescued from the inhabitants of Sodom. Later, as they were hurrying Lot and his family out of the valley of the coming destruction, we hear Lot give the following plea. Genesis 19:19-21. "Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small, that my life may be saved?" And he said to him, "Behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken." Because Lot had been faithful in the manner of his dealing righteously in the midst of the corruptness of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was being saved by the very hand of God. In the midst of the course of that salvation, Lot realized that he could not make it all the way to the safety of the hills surrounding the valley before the destruction descended from heaven. Therefore, he beseeched his heavenly rescuers to allow him to find shelter in the little town that they were approaching. He began his request with the following recognition: "Your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness which you have shown me by saving my life." Lot recognized that he had found favor in the sight of God through the course of the Lord searching for any righteous men within those cities in order to accommodate Abraham's request for grace if but 10 righteous men were found. Only Lot and his family were so blessed as to be brought out from the midst of what was soon to befall all the other inhabitants of those cities. Excuse me. There was the express sense that God's blessing was upon Lot in the fulfillment of his salvation, even as he was not physically able to get to the high place of safety and security. The Lord's face shone upon him, even into the shelter of Zoar. Next, we come to the passage of Genesis 47, 29 through 31, in which we find the passing away of Jacob, or Israel, in the land of Egypt. Israel declared his final request to Joseph, the second highest official in all of Egypt, and his favored son of his old age. Genesis 47, 29. "When the time for Israel to die drew near, he called his son Joseph and said to him, 'Please, if I have found favor in your sight, please now place now your hand under my thigh and deal with me in kindness and faithfulness. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but when I lie down with my fathers, you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place.' And he said, 'I will do as you have said.' And he said, 'Swear to me.' So he swore to him. Then Israel bowed in worship at the head of the bed." The patriarch Israel spoke to his son with a reverence in seeking a binding oath not to be buried in Egypt, but to be buried within the land given to him and to Isaac and to Abraham. He desired to be put to rest in the lands that he had wandered and received by the voice of God. In that faithful dedication to honor God, even as his bones turned to dust, Israel placed a great burden upon Joseph to carry out his dying request. "Please, if I have found favor in your sight, place now your hand under my thigh and deal with me in kindness and faithfulness." Joseph so swore in his love and his allegiance to his father, and in the fulfillment of the multi-generational blessing given by God upon this family lineage. As Israel received the promise from Joseph, note how he responded. "Then Israel bowed in worship." He turned his attention wholeheartedly to the God of his fathers and proceeded to worship even as he was in his deathbed. He paid homage to God for the fact that he had found favor in the sight of his son and in the sight of God to so bring him back into the land of his desire, the land of God's so great promise. Israel knew that God deserved all blessing and praise for all that he had brought forth. And so with his dying breath, he offered worship unto the Lord God Almighty. And please note how this carried forward in Joseph's faithful response to his father's dying request. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 50, 4 through 9. And let us read together how God prepared even Pharaoh to have favor in his sight upon the sons of Israel in the request to bury their father in the land of Canaan. Genesis 50, 4 through 9. And when the days of mourning for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found favor in your sight, please speak to Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Behold, I am about to die. In my grave which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan, there you shall bury me. Now, therefore, please let me go up and bury my father. Then I will return. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury your father as he has made you swear. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the household of Joseph, and his brothers, and his father's household. They left only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds in the land of Goshen. There also went up with him both its chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. Notice how God's favor so infused the faithful fulfillment of the oath of Joseph to his father, even to the point that the Egyptians joined in the very process of carrying the body of Israel back to the land of God's promise. They even joined in the mourning with the sons of Israel. Not only did Pharaoh give permission for this group to leave Egypt, but he added to this mourning procession all his servants and all the elders of the land of Egypt and his chariot and horsemen. As the word tells us, it was a very great company, all going to mourn the death of the father of Joseph. God so blessed his people that the entire realm of Egypt was affected and put into mourning for the sake of the family of Israel as his body was returned to the land of promise. When the favor of the Lord is upon us, we are often so blessed by his moving hand in the hearts and minds of even those of this realm who do not yet recognize him as Lord. We often find that our walk on this earth is filled with all those myriad touches of God as directed by his hand, and even in our generous and peaceful treatment at the hands of those whom we would consider outsiders to the family of God. You see, God does not just deal effectively with his people. His sovereignty rules over all people, no matter what their stated beliefs or religion. We often tend to forget this and try to box God into a very limited role as ruler of only those who will see and acknowledge who he is. We are often guilty of making God only the Lord of Christendom, not realizing that he is the Lord God Almighty. He is creator of heaven and earth. He is the creator of every living being in heaven and on the earth. All are under the sovereignty of His hand in operation. All are under the power of God to accomplish His perfect plan and purpose in the dispensation of His omnipotence and His omnipresence and His omniscience. As He moved the heart of Pharaoh to join fully in the honoring of the father of Joseph, so does He move in the hearts and minds of all whom He chooses to use to bless and to honor those who have found favor in His sight. This brings us to a tremendous passage with regard to Moses and his plea to God as he was leading forth the multitude of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt more than 400 years later. Please turn to Exodus 33, 12 through 19. Exodus 33, 12 through 19. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, Thou dost say to me, bring up this people, but Thou Thyself hast not let me know whom Thou wilt send with me. Moreover, Thou hast said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore I pray Thee, if I have found favor in Thy sight, let me know Thy ways, that I may know Thee, so that I may find favor in Thy sight. Consider, too, that this nation is Thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If Thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in Thy sight, I and Thy people? Is it not by Thy going with us, so that we, I and Thy people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." Then Moses said, "I pray thee, show me thy glory." And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." We will be able to but start our consideration of this passage this morning. Initially, please note that Moses was very clear and deliberate in his discourse with God in terms of what was needed if he had found favor in the sight of God. The first request, if he had found favor in the sight of God, was, "Let me know thy ways, that I may know thee." Let me know thy ways, that I may know thee. Moses knew that favor with God was only possible as he learned more and more personally the nature and the ways of God. Moses was not relying on anyone but God to do all that was necessary in the deliverance of the children of Israel. The great responsibility that God had put upon him could only be met in the reality of learning more and more fully the very person of God who had called him out of the wilderness. And he was the one who had put him into this place as the deliverer of God's people. He had to know God and His ways in order to please God and to lead the people aright. In that course of building a living relationship with God, in his desire to know God, Moses would be enabled to please God in obedience to all that was necessary. Moses had a very astute recognition that it is only as we know God in greater and greater depth that we can please Him fully in the lives that we live on this earth. It is one thing to know doctrine and theology and theoretical concepts about God. However, it is a completely different thing to know the living God in a very personal and conscious manner as He reveals Himself in His ways to us each and every moment of every day. As we desire to know Him in all the trueness of Himself, so will we come to know in richness and matchless beauty the reality of the favor of His divine vision upon us. So be it. And Jacob said, "No, please, if now I have found favor in your sight, then take my present from my hand, for I see your face as one sees the face of God, and you have received me favorably." Amen.